Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Ask Me Anything episode. We talk about Jane Fonda. We talk about responsibility, the mental health crisis, the climate mental health crisis, and more. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Email me directly as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda. It's been a while since I've talked about Jane Fonda. I think she's become really irrelevant. Let's play a game. How old do you think Jane Fonda is? She is 85 years old. I think she's morally contemptible, but she looks good for 85. I got to be honest. You have to be. I mean, she looks good for 85. You got to wonder how much work she's had done, but still. All right, so Jane Fonda was a really big deal for years, and she's obviously lesser now. Not exactly as well known to the younger generation, but in an attempt to try to make herself seem relevant again, Jane Fonda went on The View and said some things that were so extraordinary, so over the top. It really makes you just kind of look twice at it. Now, mind you, she's been an activist her whole life. She's been involved. She said she was in support of the civil rights movement, but she most famously visited Hanoi in 1972 and sat inside of a North Vietnamese AA gun used to shoot at American jets. It's an anti-air gun. Thank you. Because I was like, how do you sit inside of a gun? It was an anti-air weapon. During that visit, she accused the United States of systematically targeting Vietnam's dike system to cause flooding and cause mass civilian casualties. This was not true. And that's Jane Fonda, and you could be considered a traitor for that. She's been at the center of so much political activism and controversy, and it's interesting. She considers herself a big feminist. You know, Jane Fonda, Gloria Steinem, all these people were considered to be really big feminists, yet she's very quiet on the fact that men are now able to continue their quote-unquote terror campaign against women. She said that oil executives and politicians who don't support climate change agenda should be treated like Nazi war criminals. But she's really trying to outdo herself here. Let's play cut 118 of Jane Fonda on The View. Play cut 118.
Experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
You don't know. They'll pick up on that and
just run
with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding. It's.
Well, let me talk to you about.
What's most troubling about that clip is how the audience laughs when she says they should kill us. And she looks like she's not kidding. Jane Fonda's a very angry person. So let's take this apart. So Jane Fonda says, we know what having agency over our bodies has given us. What has it given you, Jane Fonda? You're a very angry and bitter person. Has having agency over your body made you a happier person, more joyful, more thoughtful, more likely to love or have compassion? You're calling for the murder of other people. I think there's something in your being that is rather broken. Oh, she does have three kids, including Troy Garrity and Mary Williams. So the fact sheet that was sent to me is incorrect. She does have kids. She's had three husbands. Four. She's on her fourth husband. And so she says, we're not going back. And you got to wonder, what does she mean by that? Go back to the respect of the unborn or the preborn, or the preborn, not the unborn. You see, they have no problem with selective intervention of the termination of life. They've never had a problem for that. Fonda says Harvey Weinstein only got caught because, quote, because so many of the women that were assaulted by Harvey Weinstein are famous and white. Well, maybe she has a point there, but she does love abortion, whose victims are mostly not famous and not white. And she won't speak out against that. So Jane Fonda continues to outdo herself as kind of one of the main leaders of modern feminism, completely silent on the entire trans issue and the fact that men are now winning championships against females in female sports, silent on it. In fact, supportive of it, it seems. And she continues her activist campaign on The View, calling for the murder of people that she disagrees with. Okay, let's get to another question here, because I'm taking your questions this whole hour. freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, did you see the recent Kamala Harris interview? I wonder what your take is regarding her opinion on climate mental health. Let's play cut 102, which goes directly to the question. Cut 102.
I mean, one of the young leaders was talking to me about climate mental health. I said, tell me what's going on with your peers. Climate mental health. And she talked about how her peers are thinking about it. One example is, you know, whether when they're ready, could they start a family? Trying to figure out, you know, they're going to have to get a job and they're going to have to make a living, but what can they do and how can they adapt the education that they're having now to their activism?
Climate alarmism and climate fanaticism is contributing to people's depression in the younger generation. They actually think the world is going to end. And that is exactly where the left wants them. They don't want them to be joyful or optimistic or believe that life has beauty or meaning. No, they want them to believe that there is an imminent climate apocalypse, that only if they give enough political power to the state and eradicate the world of private property and be able to bring in some sort of green environmental Marxism, only then will they be able to be happy. And yeah, this is a very big deal. We have the most depressed, most suicidal, angriest generation in American history. And we should ask ourselves the question, why? One of the reasons is that we're told that your past is completely racist, bigoted, awful, and terrible. Your future is going to end in the flooding of the earth and the end of society as we know it. So you have to wonder, what exactly is there to look forward to? What is there to live for if you're a young kid? And the answer the left offers them is very little to anything. It is, and the CDC is now coming out and they're saying young women are more depressed than ever before. Yeah, I wonder why. You are feeding them a constant diet of philosophical trash, of garbage, of venom. And you're wondering why all of a sudden they're not exactly happy with their life, where they're going, and who they are. Maybe there was something to the way we used to educate children. The classical model of education, reading great books, diving deep into ideas. And Kamala Harris kind of just doesn't even know what to make of it. She discusses the climate mental health pushed by people like Greta Thunberg and Al Gore, trying to turn young people into climate revolutionaries, fanatics. What an immoral thing to do to a young kid that has so much future, so much positive that they could contribute to the world, so much goodness, so much beauty. And to turn them into little revolutionaries, as if the entire world is going to collapse unless we abolish fossil fuels. It is robbing children of their youth, robbing children of their future, robbing them of optimism and of joy. That is exactly what the left does every single day.
All right. Every time I feel like I'm meeting somebody new, I am learning how many people are also on PhD weight loss. So look, a lot of people come to us to partner with our show and to work with us. And PhD weight loss came to us and they said, listen, we want to work with you, but we want to first have you go on the program for a month. I said, sure, fine, of course. And had an opening conversation with Dr. Ashley Lucas, and their philosophy is different than anything I ever heard. And look, it's hard to lose weight. It's very hard to keep weight off. I mean, with the crazy schedule, especially when you're traveling, as much as I do. And so for a month, I've been on this program, and it's really interesting, and the results speak for themselves. Already down 6 pounds. And for those of you that are trying to lose weight, listen very carefully. So this is called PhD Weight Loss, and the program is very simple. Dr. Ashley Lucas, founder, she's amazing. She has a whole team, and they customize a plan just for you, works with your schedule. They don't really believe in calorie reduction. They don't believe in all the kind of typical sound bites that you hear. They look at all your medical history. They talk with you. They personalize it. And they also send you the food. And so it's super easy. It's right there. And then you get a personal coach. And I could tell you, for me, my coach, she's tough. She's great. And she knows her stuff. And that's exactly what I need. But also very compassionate and caring. And again, they provide you 80% of your food at no additional cost. They treat your entire person. And Dr. Ashley believes that all the change starts with the mind. And so she helps you change your behavior and think differently about food so you'll never gain this weight back. And look, one of the things I like best about PhD Weight Loss is they're very understanding about where you're at in life. It's not judgmental. It's not like you're some sort of side project. You get your own coach, literally, if you do this. And then you get food on top of it. The best thing about this program is they have an 85% success rate of their clients maintaining their weight loss for life. I have no idea how much fat I'm going to lose, but hopefully more. And obviously, you know, it's not easy to do that, but they are able to guide me through it in a very successful and effective way. I think they could do it for you as well. No joke, I literally have my call with the coach tomorrow and looking forward to kind of maintaining and hopefully accelerating that success. They have a lifetime maintenance plan to keep you on track, and maintenance is free. One of the most important things you could do for your overall health is to lose weight. And it's not easy, right? No judgment. I know it's hard. You're running a million places. So you should consider PhD Weight Loss. Not only have I vetted them, I'm working with them, and I think they're really onto something here. I think they could really help you out. If you're looking to lose weight and keep it off forever, go to myphdweightloss.com. That is myphdweightloss.com today and sign up for your consultation. Better yet, give them a call right now at 864-644-1900. Again, that's myphdweightloss.com. I'm on a journey to hopefully lose more weight, and I want you guys to check this out, okay? It's myphdweightloss.com. If I can do it, you can do it. That's 864-644-1900. And it's empowering. They work with you. They understand if you have food allergies. They're compassionate. They're clear, but they also help you really be held accountable to the standard that you want to go. So go to myphdweightloss.com. Check it out. I'm a believer in their program. I think they're really onto something. MyPhDWeightLoss.com.
Charlie, what do you think about the fentanyl crisis in America and what can be done to solve it? This really concerns me. Fentanyl is a real lethal drug. It is terrible. And our government is more concerned with violent extremists. Tom Cotton, who's a good senator from Arkansas, he doesn't always vote the way I'd like him to, especially with that omnibus bill back in December. I didn't like that, but he's a good man. And he's a strong fighter, and he's a true conservative. He had an opportunity to cross-examine Avril Haines, who is a member of the Biden regime. She serves as the senior director of national intelligence for the Biden administration. That's her job. So she's the Director of National Intelligence, DNI. She's the first woman to serve in the role. And so she's the seventh director of the DNI. Okay. So Tom Cotton had an opportunity to ask her some questions. And I love these questions. In Aristotle's Ethics, the entire book of the Ethics is built on this premise, which is that there is a hierarchy of the good. There's a hierarchy of some things matter more than others. And in life, a mature citizen and a mature society goes through the process of talking about what matters more and what matters less. Not everything can matter the same. Food, shelter, medicine matters more than entertainment. It's pretty obvious, right? Entertainment comes second to those things. But since we no longer live in a mature society and we live in a society run by narcissistic infants, we no longer even have those conversations. And so I had that dialogue at University of Illinois Chicago where I asked a student, I said, what do you think is a bigger threat to America? Racism or fathers not being in the home? And he said, racism, of course, obviously. and said, okay, that's your position. It's an insane position, but that is your position. Tom Cotton employed this line of thinking. It's very Socratic. It's very rational. You should always be asking yourselves a question, especially when you have a lot of pressing issues, an open border, a lot of kids killing themselves, drug overdoses. What should the focus of our time, energy, and attention be? And one of the most repulsive things that I have to hear from left-wingers is we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, there's a couple things that people say that I just can't stand. One of them is at the end of the day, and the other one is walk and chew gum at the same time. Those things simultaneously drive me nuts because it just shows you haven't really thought through your position just at all. You just kind of keep saying those things. A lot of good people say at the end of the day, don't like it. It's a filler term. It really doesn't really mean anything. Find something else to say. So Tom Cotton has an opportunity to talk to Avril Haines, and Avril Haines, being the head of the Director of National Intelligence, is really concerned about violent extremism in America. And not the way that you might think of it, by the way. She says that violent extremists, DVIs, domestic violent extremists, which really means white supremacists, she says they pose a more lethal threat to Americans than fentanyl. Play cut 84.
On page 33, you write, transnational, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists continue to pose the most lethal threat to U.S. persons and interests. Are you serious? You seriously think that racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists are the most lethal threat that Americans face?
So, yes, sir. In terms of the number of people killed or wounded as a consequence.
How many people were killed by racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists in the United States last year?
I don't have the exact number for you right here, but I will get it for you.
How many people were killed by fentanyl in the United States last year?
As you know, it's over 100,000 for fentanyl. But
so isn't that a more lethal threat?
Absolutely. But it's not being compared against fentanyl in that statement. It's in the context of terrorist threat.
In the context of terrorist threat? I mean, I just have to go to this one website that talks about just Chicago. So far in Chicago, there's been 102 homicides. They're actually behind pace. 428 shot, 332 shot and wounded, and 96 total shot and killed. That's just Chicago. And Tom Cotton brings up a great point. Does anyone know any quote-unquote domestic violent extremist that has killed somebody in your neighborhood anytime soon? I know where gangbangers have killed somebody in neighborhoods nearby. Happening all the time. But no, the government doesn't care about fentanyl and all that. They're trying. This is why the January 6th narrative was so important. That's why they hate Tucker Carlson so much. They need to try to create this super narrative that you are now allowed to question, that there's a bunch of angry white people that are trying to take over the government. They can't have a counter narrative to that. Not allowed. And she says it. She says, well, domestic violent extremists. It's just not true. And Tom Cotton flushed it out using a very simple question. What matters more than this? And the answer is quite a lot.
Nova Gold Investments is pleased to let you know that gold is the best investment class for 2022. Real estate, crypto, stocks, and bonds. Gold outperformed all of them in 2022. Noble Gold Investments helped thousands of clients buy real physical gold. According to longtermtrends.net, gold outperformed the S&P 500, Dow, and Bitcoin in 2022. Had you invested in the S&P a year ago, you would be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you'd be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022, and silver was not far behind. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of others by opening a gold IRA or silver IRA with Noble Gold Investments. Invest with Noble Gold Investments before the end of this month, and you'll bag a free 1/4 of an ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Call Noble Gold Investments at 877-646-5347 for a no-pressure consultation, only conversation. That is 877-646-5347. If you're not ready to invest, download the Noble Gold Investments Gold Investment Guide. Scroll down and you'll find the link on our description box. You need to scroll all the way down in the box to find the link. Check it out, Noble Gold Investments.
I was doing some research on this Avril Haines person, who apparently is the one that had the back and forth with Tom Cotton. And The Guardian, Avril Haines' unusual backstory makes her an unlikely chief for U.S. intelligence. Oh, really? And so then somebody sends this to me. The former plane enthusiast, lawyer, and judo belt owned a cafe that staged erotica nights and worked for President Obama. Wait, you're trying to say the erotica nights ended up working for Obama? No, I think this is grammatically a little bit too close. So I don't know what the hell an erotica night is. So I Googled it and it said you need to turn your safe search off in order to do that. I'm not doing that. I don't even know what it is. And so then apparently in the article, it explains it that this woman who's now running DNI bought brothels. No, she opened a cafe in a formal brothel and then returned it to a brothel. She's running the head of the DNI. She says, quote, erotica has become more prevalent because people are trying to have sex without having sex. Others are trying to find new fantasies to make their monogamous relationships more satisfying. What the erotic offers is spontaneity, twists and turns, and it affects everybody. This woman is a freak. She should not be in our government. So when I say the Biden administration has a team of freaks, I mean it. It's really strange. Okay. I want to get into this here. I think this is important. So there's a lot of questions. I'd love your thoughts to this. You know, some people are saying, Charlie, you know, Turning Point Action should host debates. I think that's a great idea. I would love to host some debates for the RNC candidates, but apparently the RNC has their own process and don't quite understand it. And Vivek Ramaswamy, to his credit, is starting to speak out about it. But I remain very clear about this, that any person running for the presidency is welcome on this program. You'll get uninterrupted time. You'll get respect. And then you'll get some direct questions. Anybody, Glenn Youngkin, if he runs, Ron DeSantis is on this program. Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley. We have a significant audience. You guys have helped us build that. Obviously, you're all part of that. So if you are a part of the conservative movement, wouldn't you want to hear your conservative commentators ask questions of these people? Okay. Well, Tucker Carlson is really onto something. He's done the same thing to his credit. He's invited all these people on his program, specifically on the issue of Ukraine. Now, it's easy to just kind of resort to abstractions on the issue of Ukraine. It's hard to get into the details. But since we are no longer a serious country, and I hope we are again, and we are run by grown infants, not mature adults, people don't actually go into detail about what it means to fund a $200 billion proxy war in Ukraine. Play cut 121.
But there is a presidential race coming up. So now's the time to find out what people really think. And by the way, good people can disagree on the subject. We're not saying people who disagree with us are evil. We're saying we should know what they think now that they're standing for office. So we've written a questionnaire for Republicans who may decide to jump into the race for president in 2024. It's a very simple questionnaire. Here are the questions. First, is opposing Russia in Ukraine a vital American national strategic interest? Is it really important or not? And if so, why? Two, what specifically is our objective in Ukraine and how will we know when we've achieved it? What's our goal and how are we going to know when we've won? If we don't know that, we should slow down. Three, what is the limit of funding and materiel, military equipment, you would be willing to send to the government of Ukraine? We're sending fighter jets. Should we send nukes? Four, should the United States support regime change in Russia? Everyone hates Putin. Should we kill him? Is that a good idea? What happens next? Five, given that Russia's economy and currency are stronger than they were before the war, do you still believe that U.S. sanctions have been effective? Everyone assumes that sanctions work. Do they? And finally, do you believe the United States faces the risk of nuclear war with Russia? Really simple. What are the stakes here? So we sent these questions to people who have announced or seem like they might announce. Donald Trump, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Glenn Youngkin, Chris Sununu, Kristi Noem, Greg Abbott, Chris Christie, Asa Hutchinson, and John Bolton. We sent these questions with respect. We sincerely want to know. We sincerely believe the public has a right to know their position on the biggest issue in the world right now, which is, will there be a third world war? And we said, we'll give you till Monday to reply. That seemed fair. And at that point, we'll let you know what they say.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm taking your questions. And Tucker Carlson is exactly right. We should challenge every single person running for the presidency. What is your position? What is the limit of funding? And what does success look like? What does success look like? Why are you not going through constitutional norms and customs to get this done? I'm going to get to a pattern here that is very positive. I know there's a lot of negative news out there. I'm really encouraged to see how many red states are stepping up to pass laws to protect minors, laws that reflect the will of their voters. And this goes to show the power of conservative media, the power of storytelling. Matt Walsh, who I have said this on the program, I said this when Michael Mills was on the program. Matt Walsh did one of the most amazing pieces of film I've ever seen when it comes to the topic of transgenderism and protecting the innocence of children. And I'm a tough sell. What is a woman? He does the movie, and months later, Tennessee actually listens to their voters, and Governor Bill Lee signs a ban on gender transition treatments for minors. Do you remember? Let's try to get this clip. It would be tough. It might be tough to get quickly. But do you remember Asa Hutchinson, the Walmart shill that used to be governor of Arkansas? Asa Hutchinson, 2 years ago, this is how based the conservative movement has become. 2 years ago, Asa Hutchinson went on Tucker Carlson's program and defended vetoing this exact bill. And Tucker Carlson said, what are you talking about? It's chemical castration. And Asa Hutchinson thought he could say, oh yeah, it's the party of Reagan. And Asa Hutchinson was made a fool. And that was the end of Asa Hutchinson's political career. He's a shill for big business. He doesn't care about children. And he is by all means and all measures a pro-trans Republican. Now, Asa Hutchinson doesn't like it when you talk about that. But then he thought he could go on Tucker Carlson and win Tucker over, and Tucker eviscerated and he obliterated him with questions using the Socratic method. Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee, to his great credit, has decided to not go in that direction. Governor Bill Lee listens to his voters. He saw what happened to Asa Hutchinson. And Governor Bill Lee decided to pass, actually sign the bill. By the way, in Arkansas, they ended up overriding Hutchinson's veto, just so we're clear. So it wasn't thanks to Hutchinson, but it is thankfully law in Arkansas. Let's play cut 12, please.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee just signed two headline-making bills covering drag shows and gender-affirming care for trans youth.
Now, the drag show bill, as some call it, adds male and female impersonators to a state law on adult cabaret performances, limiting drag shows, exotic dancing, etc., where children are present or on public property. Governor Lee also signing a bill that bans gender transition surgery and puberty-blocking medication for children in the state.
This should not be controversial, and I can't stand that phrase, gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care. Sounds so lovely. And then we put you under for surgery for 3 hours and chop off your breasts, but it sounds really nice. Gender-affirming care. Happening thousands and thousands of times a year now. At a recent event, somebody asked me, they said, Charlie, what do we have to do to try to bring men back? In America, men back to a place of strength and a place where we have appropriate balances between men and women. And I said something that I've said before, but I think I said it better at this event than I've said it in any time, because it seemed to receive very positive response both in the room and online, which is I talked about the need for responsibility. It sounds very obvious. It sounds self-evident. However, it really hasn't been for quite some time. You see, we should be teaching young people, which we're not in our government schools and far too often not in our Christian or our private schools, that your duties or your obligations matter more than your feelings, matters more than you. And you can, if you embrace a proper moral approach to this, then it can make sense of your suffering. If you are suffering and you say, man, I had a tough day, I'm not sleeping, but you understand the good that you are attempting to do, raise children, trying to fight back against evil, then you can persevere. For example, this week, haven't felt my best. As you could probably tell a little bit in my voice, I'm doing my best to fight through it, but I have an obligation. Do you know what drove me this week? What drove me this week to keep traveling and to keep going and taking as many vitamins as I can is I felt an obligation to the audience, you, to keep doing a program. I felt an obligation to the audience that was going to attend our campus events, both in Kentucky and Chicago. I felt an obligation and a duty. So it was not as important of whether or not I didn't feel my best. It was whether or not what was I supposed to do, what men ought to do. Our team did find the clip here, and I want to get to it with Asa Hutchinson. But let me summarize responsibility in this way. Responsibility, you can test whether or not you are responsible for something or someone by this question. If you don't show up tomorrow, is somebody going to have a tough day? If the answer is yes, then you have responsibility in your life. If the answer is no, then you don't. You need to find responsibility. Find something difficult, something that is good, and do that thing. All right, I just have to play this tape. This is Tucker Carlson ending the political career of Asa Hutchinson. And we're seeing more and more red states stand up for what is right, like up 124.
Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value, if you would tell us?
Well, first of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions. And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above healthcare, over and above parents, and saying you can't do that?
So you believe it's healthcare?
You cannot engage
in that. How deeply have you studied this topic? With respect, it doesn't sound like you've studied it very deeply.
The answer is not at all, because he's a shill for the Walmart family and for the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And it's just, I just love this clip. We've talked about it before on air at length, because he hasn't studied anything different deeply. So all he does, he just throws up, well, Bill Buckley and Ronald Reagan, small government. No, we believe in a small but strong government focused on what a government should do, like protecting children. And he says, oh, well, physicians, that's not persuasive at all. Physicians can do a lot of damage to people, a lot of damage, and they have done a lot of damage in these last couple of years. How many physicians willingly went along with the blackout of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D supplementation, ozone therapy, IV therapy? He's like, oh, well, it's the physician. And then he says, well, it's the parents. Unfortunately, parents get emotionally blackmailed into these situations. He says, well, I don't want to increase the size and scope of the government. It's really not even a matter of that. It's a matter of a very basic function of government, very basic, that children deserve to be protected. Governor Asa Hutchinson is an irrelevant political figure. Tucker Carlson made sure of that. And any Republican that stands against the parents' party will also be put into political irrelevance. And I'm glad Governor Lee listened to his voters and did the right thing.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.